WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. New unseen evidence unsealed in a 165-page filing in the federal election case against Donald Trump.
The filing shedding new light on this moment during the attack on the Capitol when Vice President Mike Pence was taken to a secure location by the Secret Service. Trump was informed by a White House staffer who hoped the defendant would take action to ensure Pence's safety. Instead, Trump allegedly looked at him and said only, "So what?" Trump pleaded not guilty to all charges brought by Smith. The former president's campaign bashing the filing as election interference. Perry Russum, ABC News, Washington.
The election just over a month away. Israel hitting an apartment in central Beirut. Officials say 7 Hezbollah-affiliated civilian first responders were killed. The strike coming after at least 8 IDF soldiers were killed in clashes with Hezbollah fighters in southern Lebanon. Helene is now the deadliest hurricane to hit the continental U.S. since Katrina. The death toll nearing 200 people in 6 states. Still more than a million power outages. This is ABC News. Bank of America is apologizing after some sort of problem left people across the country seeing all zeros when they looked up their bank account balances. Officials at the bank say the issues have largely been resolved, but so far they aren't saying what happened. New trouble from an old bomb.
It was a 500-pound bomb dropped by the U.S. and WW2 embedded in the ground that suddenly blew up Wednesday at Miyazaki Airport in southwestern Japan. A video recorded by a nearby aviation school showed the blast spewing pieces of asphalt into the air like a fountain. It left a large crater in a taxiway. It forced the cancellation of more than 80 flights, but no injuries, say Japanese officials. No aircraft were nearby. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Runners at a half marathon in Canada suddenly getting some unexpected competition. A goat broke out of a pumpkin patch in a Conception Bay South and decided to join the race. When Joshua the goat finished, organizers made sure that they got a medal. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Listen. Saving a lot on a comfortable mattress with a lifetime comfort guarantee is easy. Why? Because we make our mattresses right at the store. Yeah, we cut out the middleman and voila, you got it. We pass the savings directly on to you every day. So hurry in today to your local Verlo, where there are no middleman markups. Wake up, sleep better, and save at Verlo.
There's more to the walk to end Alzheimer's than just walking, and there's more reasons to take part, too. It's for families facing the disease, for treatments, for stopping Alzheimer's. Join WMDX for Alzheimer's Association Walk to End Alzheimer's at Warner Park in Madison, Sunday, October 6th, starting at 8:30 a.m. Be part of the world's largest fundraiser to fight the disease with WMDX. Learn more or sign up today at alz.org. ALZ.org.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Kamala Harris is holding on to a 4-point lead over Donald Trump in Wisconsin in the latest Marquette Law School poll. She leads 52% to 48% with both registered and likely voters. The margin of error is 4.4%. In the U.S. Senate race, Tammy Baldwin leads Eric Hovde by 7 points, also with registered and likely voters alike. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is asking people not to burn leaves and brush this week. Brittany Merlot explains why.
There's an increased chance of fire danger this week due to the dry weather, gusty winds, and dry vegetation, all ahead of a strong cold front. Burning brush and leaf piles is the number one cause of wildfires in Wisconsin. I'm Brittany Merlot.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Swings and drives one out towards right center. Taylor back, and it's gone! Mitchell, a 2-run homer, and the Brewers have the lead. It's 5-3.
That's what it sounded like on ESPN Radio as the Brewers beat the Mets 5-3 last night. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Today will be Game 3 of the wildcard series between the Brewers and the Mets. Jackson Chourio hit 2 home runs, and Garrett Mitchell hit a go-ahead 2-run blast to move the Brewers in front in the win. Willie Adames was impressed by Chourio's performance.
I mean, insane. I mean, I feel like he's done some, you know, he hit some clutch hits, you know, throughout the year. But I know for him that felt amazing, and for the team felt unbelievable. That changed the whole game right there, and he gave us an opportunity to play game three tomorrow.
First pitch tonight is after 6 p.m. If the Brewers win, they'll play the Phillies on Saturday and Sunday to start the NLDS. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 73 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 48. Tomorrow, sunny, 70. And then on Saturday, a little return to summer with sunshine at a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Alexander Venman with very compelling testimony during the first Trump impeachment trial. J.R. Radcliffe with all things sports. And this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 11.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
And now, 92.7 WMDX.
Good morning.
Hello, everybody. It's a fantastic day in the capital city today. We're looking State Street next to the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Ovation. I don't know.
Overture Center?
I don't know.
Yeah, good morning.
Like, you know, here's the thing, you know, it's so dark now. This is ridiculous. I'm not used to this. When do we set the clocks back? We gotta do something about this.
We asked the computer once before. It's in like November sometime.
Oh, it is November. That's right. Oh, my God.
Computer, when does daylight savings time begin?
In Wisconsin, daylight saving time started on the 10th of March 2024 at 2 a.m. and will end on the 3rd of November 2024 at 2 a.m.
So we don't have to wait too far.
Wait, is that
November.
Election day?
2 days before.
2 days before election.
So Sunday.
Just enough to screw everybody up.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people won't remember to vote then.
I forgot. Yeah. The sun was over there yesterday.
Yeah.
And now it's over here.
I'm just not used to this.
Yeah. It does take some adjusting.
It does. You know, it's really hard coming in here and doing the show. Like this
really?
Following Pete Schwab. You know, it's tough, man.
Schwab is amazing.
He's got the stuff, you know, and he had a big article up there in a local newspaper.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
And it was a fun article.
Mm.
So it was well done. You know, we had a couple of really good articles written up about our show at WMAD way back when.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember one of the better ones was actually a high school newspaper article. So I hope the guy went on to a better career.
Yeah. Well, we had a little write-up in part of the Isthmus, I think, on their digital site.
Yes, right? yes. We got a little publicity there. And I'd like to thank Sam for being the superstar of that article. I guess, you know, they did mention my name once, but Gordy got in there again, you know, with him, Mr.
Second time I've ever been quoted in a paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got quoted. Why didn't they quote you, John?
Well, you know, I say nothing really important.
So Judy Davidoff put that together.
Yes, she did.
We're going to have her back in real soon.
Yeah, their new issue's coming out today, and I asked her to come on the show this morning to talk about it.
Yeah.
But turns out they deliver all of the papers by hand.
Well, they can deliver some here, stop in.
They could, yeah.
You know, we could have a stack of Isthmus here. I think that'd be great.
I don't think if many of those issues would go anyplace.
Well, we have guests coming and going here, and why
well,
not?
Yeah, I mean, it would be good to have a handful, right? But yeah, we Absolutely. Wanted to find out what was in the latest issue of Isthmus coming out today.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they deliver it, right. Which is crazy. But hopefully we can get her in here probably on Friday.
Didn't
maybe,
they say their circulation was like around 30,000 or so? That's crazy.
That's correct.
Doing that by themselves.
And their digital space is also 30 or 35,000. Yeah. So they're doing well. Good
I
for
mean,
them.
You know, looking at that magazine, it's tremendously detailed. I mean, you know, the work that must go into putting the isthmus together with just a staff of, what, seven?
Seven people, and then some contributors, a lot of writers.
Yeah. Artists.
Yeah. So that comes out today. Weather today is looking okay.
Yeah.
You know, we're it's cool again. It's 54 degrees. Let's see what the high temperature is. Do we still have the weather lottery ball machine? We haven't used it lately.
I know.
Oh. Does this answer your question?
It does. All right. The balls they are jumping work. Around there. First ball is a seven.
Turn your head to the left and cough.
Second ball is a five. 75.
I hate it when my balls jump around.
Yeah.
Well, wait till you get a little older there. Hey, let's check out the National Day calendar, shall we? Not much on the calendar today.
No, that's great.
Is it or is it not? You have three choices. Is it or is it not National Goulash Day? Is it National Techie Day? Or National Boyfriend Day?
It's not Techie Day.
Well, you're wrong. It is Techies Day. National Techies Day. Okay?
You know, that's a tough occupation to be in.
Tech?
Yeah.
That's their official job title is techie?
Well, yeah. Usually, I mean, it's in the job title or the business title of a lot of these tech shops that are out there. They turn up in these little strip malls, right?
Right.
You've seen them.
Yeah.
And I've taken my computer to a few of them, and they're gone the next month.
You know? It's a tough business.
It is.
It's a tough business, and they keep moving around. I'm not sure if it's the same group or same bunch of guys or whoever it is.
Have you been to You Break It, We Fix It?
I have not been there.
I've been there once. They did a great job. Yeah.
But they have moved.
There used
to be one on University Avenue, and then they disappeared, and I don't know where they ended up.
There's one on the east side. There's one on the west side on Mineral Point Road.
But I'm just wondering, you know, is it the same person that just keeps finding a different location?
They
get their rent raised, and they just find someplace else.
Maybe
I don't know. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough business.
It's a tough thing being the IT people that put it all together. Sam, did you have a guess on what is not the National Day calendar?
As much as I'd like it to be, I don't think it's Goulash Day.
You're right. It is not National Goulash, but doesn't goulash sound good?
Yeah, I haven't had goulash in probably years since I lived with my parents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same here.
I had it last week.
Did you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You make it? Did you put it together?
No, Ann put it together. Yeah. But I used to make it too.
Yeah. I love goulash.
It is great stuff.
Yeah. All right. Well, it is not National Goulash Day. But it is. Let's go to National Techies Day.
All right. And let's find out more about the people that move around town.
They're like gypsies,
yes,
right?
The wandering gypsy techies that are out there that, you know, it's difficult because you get calls all the time, I assume, from the people who have their computers there saying, is it done yet? Is it done yet?
Right.
I've done that.
Yeah. Yeah. You're that guy, huh?
I am that guy.
National Techies Day encourages students to consider a career in technology. With so many opportunities in the growing technology field, students seeking a career in technology will find promising choices anywhere they look. Well, you know, with AI, is that still the case? Or will computers have ways to fix themselves?
No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah?
Nope.
Okay.
There are little problems that come up that AI cannot fix.
Well, in 2012, Engine Advocacy commissioned a report by the Bay Area Council Economic Institute of California. That sounds like a fun group.
Big, important group.
According to the report, for every high-tech job, four more jobs are created. Get that.
That's pretty good.
For every tech job,
yeah,
four more are created. That doesn't... Well, so you create a job, and then suddenly you need four more people to fix whatever the first guy got wrong?
Well, not fix what the first guy...
I don't understand
that. They set up shop, and they hire more people.
Okay. By 2030, it says here, the technology sector will continue to grow while other job sectors may decline. While the job futures, while the job's future changes, one thing remains steady, technology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Healthcare technologies continue to grow by nearly 48% while research ramps up and surgeons and medicine take advantage of technologies to a whole new level. Now, that's interesting. I'm having some surgery in a couple of weeks. I'm hoping it's not a robot. I don't know.
No, you better hope it's a robot.
You think robots are better surgeons than actual surgeons?
Robotic surgery is the way to go. Yeah, smaller instruments.
Well, they got to drill into my head, though. They got to take like a giant bit, like a 6-inch bit.
That's what you don't
drill
want.
Drill into the center of my brain. That.
That's why robotics is really good, because they use very little space.
I don't know.
And very little damage done. That's why a lot of robotics is done for outpatient services.
Well, thanks for explaining that to me.
Well, Mr. Know-it-all over here. Might as well just shut up and sit in the back of the room.
It's National Boyfriend Day. Hey.
Really?
I guess so. I don't know why we need a day. Yeah. Oh, remember Leslie Gore?
Yeah. No, it's...
isn't it?
Who is that?
The Angels.
Oh, the Angels. Right. I thought this was Leslie Gore. Well, what do you know? National Boyfriend Day today recognizes the sweetheart in your life. Like special days for family members, this day dedicates attention to the boyfriends in our lives. Whether the relationship is new or seasoned, boyfriends bring unique meanings to our lives. From romantic evenings and date nights and adventure, each relationship develops over time.
You know, I'm just listening to some of the lyrics in this thing.
Oh,
I know.
It's so dated.
And when it's dated because the boyfriend that is coming back doesn't have a gun and he's out to kill the other guy, you know? I mean, that's now. That's what we do now. The more innocent time, the guy would come back and, you know, beat the guy up or something.
Beat him up.
But
yeah, smack him
not
around.
Not anymore.
Nope.
No?
Yeah. Stalking. So if you have a boyfriend, you know, I don't know.
What?
Give him a salute today. I don't know. What do you do? What do you do? It's National Boyfriend's Day.
Well, I can think of a certain kind of salute. Sure, that works for me.
Hey, now. It's a family show.
That's right. It is. That's right. We jokingly call it that.
16 minutes past the hour. That's it for the National Day calendar. You got got any history items there? Open up the history book.
Oh, boy, do I.
Is it dusty?
It's always dusty. It's like somebody dumps a pile of dirt on this thing overnight. I don't know what is happening.
It's extra dusty.
I think we're getting
today.
The hint that somebody doesn't like the feature.
I guess so. All right.
Let's see. Today in 1942, the German V-2 rocket is flown for the first time.
That's nice.
Yeah. It's a nice rocket.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's basically the first rocket. It was also the first...
Well, why was it called the V-2 then?
Well, there was a
the
V-1. There was a V-1, but it wasn't like what we would now consider like a rocket or a missile or something like that.
Really?
It was much more primitive, yeah.
More like a paper airplane?
sure, John.
Okay, all right.
Today in 1949, WERD, the very first black-owned and operated radio station, goes on the air.
Where was that?
I gotta look. I didn't check the location. WERD in 1949.
Okay.
And you were laughing about this before. Today, 1955, Captain Kangaroo debuts on TV.
Bob Keeshan.
Yes, indeed.
My mother worked with Bob Keeshan.
Really?
At Buffalo, New York, at a radio station, WGR.
That's right.
Yeah. And this was long before Captain Kangaroo. It was in the mid-40s, during World War II, actually. My mom was an announcer there, and Bob Keeshan was on the staff. Foster Brooks, if you remember, the lovable drunk.
Mr. Drunk.
And Marlon Perkins was the zoo guy that came in once a week with a pet.
That was his start.
An animal. That was his start, Marlon Perkins. Yeah.
He started and with Buffalo, puppets, and then he brought in real animals.
And actually, Bob Smith worked there, too. Bob Smith before
Buffalo
he came from Buffalo, New York. So that was the deal.
Really?
Bob
and then he went on to do Howdy Doody.
Howdy Doody, yeah. So anything
small
else
world.
On Bob Keeshan?
We're going to talk about
Captain Kangaroo.
It's like 1955, so I was about 5 years old.
Well,
did you watch him when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Hold that thought. We'll talk more about Captain Kangaroo and a whole lot more on the John and Gordy Show coming up.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin.
Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great... Not really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Come on, baby, let's do the twist. Come on, baby, let's do the twist.
Chubby.
This is not real.
It's Chubby Checker's birthday today,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is that why we're playing this?
And he sounds so much like the guy who actually sang this song originally.
Originally?
You're telling me he didn't do this originally?
Who did he cover it from?
No, it was a cover.
I don't know. I can't remember the guy's name, but he sounds exactly like this. It seemed like he almost ripped him off.
Computer.
Style-wise, everything.
Who did the song The Twist originally?
According to an Alexa Answers contributor. The song The Twist was famously sung by Chubby Checker.
We know that.
It was originally released in 1960 and became hugely popular, leading to a dance craze of the same name.
Well, I think somebody else did.
Computer, you're not very useful.
Somebody did do it before that, but again,
we'll get our
person that sounded very much like Chubby Checker, and Chubby Checker sounded very much like him, whoever came first, and anyway, he had the big hit with it, and boy, did he take off on that.
He did.
It was a B-side by Hank Ballard and the Midnighters.
There you go. Yeah, Chubby Checker is 83 today, still doing the twist.
Yep. Still
just a little slower, yeah. A little less twisty.
Well, I don't know. You know, that twist keep you
in exercise.
Yeah, I mean, it keeps you in shape. That was the whole point back then. Everybody right. thought they were staying in shape.
It's a good core exercise.
Yes.
You know, we were talking about Captain Kangaroo right before the break. You have some memories, right?
I pulled it up on my computer here, and I'm thinking, this isn't right.
What?
Okay, get this.
You're doubting?
Most of you probably don't remember when Captain Kangaroo was lead guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne before he hooked up with Mr. Green Jeans and went on for a solo career, and the rest is history, folks.
Okay. Where are you getting that?
I don't know where I got that. That is not true. Are you sure that's not true?
I'm sure that's not true.
There's no link to this story.
Yeah, Bob Keeshan, you know, he was Clarabelle the Clown on the Howdy Doody.
He was.
And Clarabelle didn't talk. He just had a little whistle or something. But, yeah, Bob Keeshan, Captain Kangaroo, and, of course, Mr. Green Jeans.
Yes.
I don't know that actor's name. But there was also Grandfather Clock in the show, Bunny Rabbit, and Mr. Moose.
Grandfather Clock was a rather slow individual.
It was a clock.
It was a clock.
It was a grandfather clock.
Yeah.
And only his eyes moved back and forth, and his lips moved just very little bit when he talked to the kids.
Yeah, he wasn't real talkative. But I don't know why they always went to grandfather clock. It's like, okay, what's going to happen next? let's move on.
He didn't have a big role. No.
No.
And Bunny Rabbit didn't speak either. Mr. Moose was the only speaking puppet.
Bunny Rabbit was always getting into trouble. You remember that?
Yeah, and he would there was some secret word or something, and then all the ping pong balls would fall down.
Yeah.
Remember that? Like a couple of hundred ping pong balls would just fall from the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Onto Captain Kangaroo.
But, yeah.
Okay.
But
Captain Kangaroo was kind of the forerunner of Mr. Rogers. I mean, he was very gentle, mild-mannered
You're probably more familiar with the show than I. I can't remember too much of it, but Mr. Green Jeans, what the hell was his? What did he do? What did he grow?
Well, it was on if you remember the set, the captain had his house.
Right.
But it was set on a farm. Mr. Green Jeans lived on the farm outside somewhere. I don't know if they were living in the house.
Was he a dairy farmer?
I don't know the setup. He didn't seem to be very busy.
No.
He didn't do anything. Just came in to talk to a captain every once in a while, and then he'd go back on the farm.
What was his point of having green jeans, by the way?
No.
Never really caught on.
No, it's not a big deal. All right.
But, see, the thing is, I grew up watching puppets. And right. I think that's where I got this this desire to work with puppets.
Did you?
I wanted to be the ringmaster.
I had a chance to work with a couple of puppets. You came over to the Channel 47 when we had a puppet show there.
Yeah, I did.
A number of times.
It was the most memorable moment I ever had. Was talking to Francois Fox
again
and having a dispute with him about my movie reviews.
We got to put that on our agenda to get a hold of Scott Yarbrough. Remind me to reach out to him and get Francois Fox in here. Because that was he had a great little character there.
He was. That was a great character. We had him on the cable access show too.
Yeah.
And boy, was
good
he,
times.
He was trouble there.
He was. Nothing but trouble. Hey, we want to remind you that John and Gordy Show is sponsored by Verlo Mattress of Madison. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted, locally made mattress. You can find them on Madison's east side or west side or online at verlo.com. Okay?
We're very close to the point of introducing again, for the second week, Busted Pencils.
That's right.
They're coming in.
They're going to be here in just a few minutes.
Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny, and we'll find out what their hot topic is.
Mm-hmm. They're right around the corner.
Yep. And we've also, later on, we've got the big story of the day. And we'll be taking a look. Our own big story, not Terry Bell's, but our big story is, something about J.D. Vance.
Yeah. He's back in the news
again.
Since the debate.
Since the debate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people think he won.
No, a lot of people didn't. You know, I got depressed leaving the studio yesterday because CNN said, well, their focus group said that JD won. And I thought, how is that even possible? The guy lies. All he's doing is lying. You can't win anything at all if you lie.
Yeah, but he was so good at lying. He was so slick at lying.
He's like a used car salesman, John.
Right. Yeah.
So we're rating used car salesmen.
We're rating performance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about convincing people to vote for you, not if you're right or not.
That's what it's come to. It's all about the performance.
So, I looked at the other polls and other exit groups and all this, and really, Walz won that thing, hands down. And a lot of people have more confidence in him, more sincere, that he cares more about them.
He's real.
All the individual topics that they surveyed people on, and he came out on top.
Yeah.
And I think, J.D. probably came out on top for lying more than anything. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, hey, I don't know if anybody noticed this. If you're watching on X or on Facebook, we put up a new background, and it is the John and Gordy logo, but blown up into a size no one could imagine.
So it's not, it's a depiction of our logo.
It's part of the logo that we've devised and come up with, and it'll be on products fairly soon, but we're blue, so we look like the blue meanies with sunglasses on.
Right.
So sadly, this isn't working out.
We're workshopping it, while we're on the air. Okay, Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny are next, the Busted Pencils guys, on the John and Gordy Show, 92.7 WMDX.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You can always continue the conversation on social media.
Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Boy, it's not just Wisconsin dairy operators that are paying attention to the revisions of federal milk marketing orders. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. President of the American Farm Bureau Federation is paying attention as well, and you might be surprised how engaged he is in the process. Details on the way.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans have farmers yielding out an additional 2.7 bushels per acre over A-Series. This has everyone talking, not just farmers. Case in point, a trucking company wrote, "Morning, noon, and night, it doesn't matter. I'm hauling Z-Series. The phone doesn't stop ringing. Even my home number, it never stops ringing." Well, it's fair to say Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are making quite an impact. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/newera.
Zippy Duval is the president of the American Farm Bureau Federation. He, along with other state presidents from around the country, made a visit to World Dairy Expo this week, where he tells us he's monitoring the federal milk marketing order reform process and says there's a lot of possibilities.
Well, you know, we've got a lot of wins in this, but we also were disappointed in a few areas. You know, really and truly, we're proud of the process. It really got this process started several years ago, and we called all the dairy industry together in the Midwest, and from dairymen to co-ops to all the people that was involved in it, and says, you know, we really need to do something. And then coming out of that, we had the federal milk order hearings, and that lasted weeks and weeks on weeks, and now we're going through the rules and the rules that are being released from it. So we've had some wins in it. We was glad to see what has happened, but there are some areas we wish we could have went a little bit further.
Zippy Duval, president of the American Farm Bureau Federation, visiting with us at World Dairy Expo. He is a dairyman himself. He said he grew up milking Holsteins in Georgia and always wanted to make a trip to World Dairy Expo. Now, he said he and his wife are actually back in dairying. They're milking two Jersey cows at home.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Yesterday, the barrel cheese gained 0.75 cents to 215.25. 40-pound block cheese dropped 5.25 to 202.75, while AA butter dropped 7 to 268 a pound. This morning, the November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, it's up a penny, 22.30 to 100 weight. December corn's down a penny at 4.31. November beans down 8.5 right now at 10.47. And December wheat's down 3.5 at 6.11. There's your market update. I'm PM Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 73 for a high this afternoon. The wind out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 48. Tomorrow, sunny, 70. And then on Saturday, a little return to summer with sunshine at a high of 79. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 54.
Progressive knows finding your new home was a dream come true. You wanted a walk-up with central air and a skylight. And you found it. Now, every Friday night, you get to fall asleep to the sound of your downstairs neighbor's dance parties. Progressive can't save you from your noisy neighbors, but we can save you money when you bundle your home and auto with us. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Football season is back, and Gabriel the Promoter is ready to help you get the party started. Celebrate in style by booking a $100 round-trip party bus shuttle from Madison to Lambeau Field, complete with all-you-can-drink Miller Lite. Tickets to the game are not included. Don't miss out on the ultimate green and gold experience. Book your spot now. Brought to you by Gabriel Promotes and sponsored by Baldwin Street Grill. Call Gabriel the Promoter today, 414-944-1704, while spots are still available.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, it's our Popcorn Pick of the Week, brought to you by Poppin' Z's Popcorn. And I'm joined by Milwaukee filmmaker Ezekiel Drews and Festival Theater's Jesse March.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Bum, bum, ba-dum-dum, bum, bum-da-bum.
they still suck, but they're better at it now. John and Gordy in the morning, right before me, Stephanie Miller on 92.7 WMDX.
All right, thank you, Stephanie.
Yeah, it's nice. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
We were talking about Captain Kangaroo earlier.
We were.
Got a few comments here. Mr. Green Jeans was played by Hugh, is that Branham?
Branham, yeah. Mm-hmm. And Gen X grew up.
Yeah.
And with Captain.
Each episode, Mr. Green Jeans would share a fact about plants and caring for the earth and or a new animal on the farm. That's right. That's what his role was.
I did not remember that.
Yeah. It was something for the kids. Anyway, 6:35. It's a cool start this morning. We're at 54 degrees, highs in the mid-70s today. A lot of sunshine on the way.
No, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, maybe they did have those topics, but I was waiting more for the next puppet to come up and say something stupid.
Mr. Bunny Rabbit? Or
Bunny Rabbit to do something
Mr.
bad.
Moose.
Yeah.
Well, and they also had cartoons. They had Tom Terrific. Remember Tom Terrific?
Yes, of course. I remember Tom. Yeah, with the funnel thing on top of
the funnel
the
hat. Yeah. At? Yeah.
All right. Look, we're diverting attention away from our feature today, and it is Busted Pencils.
Right. And we have Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny here with us, and we're just getting Tim settled in here, joining us this morning. Good morning to the Busted Pencils.
Johnny, you're there, right? Johnny Lupinacci?
Yeah. Absolutely. Good morning.
All right. Good morning.
How are you?
Good to have you with us again.
Is Tim there as well?
Yep, we got him in.
All right, fantastic.
See, you know, I should look up on the screen every once in a while, John.
Every once in a while. Oh, technology. We're not used to it yet. So what have you guys, I know you do podcasts, but what is your latest topic? What are you hot on right now?
Well, we just released, actually yesterday, one of our new podcasts where we had an incredible guest where we're doing on Wednesdays what are called class is in session. It's going to come or drop. And we interviewed Sam Long, a biology teacher who is also a transgender man. And the way he puts together, though, the whole idea of teaching biology and talking about diversity and just really putting forward to this whole idea of gender and, you know, the biology and how much more there is a more of a diversity around that issue with his students. Really powerful interview that we did with Sam.
Boy, that sounds really, really interesting. Of a different perspective on it and, you know, more a biological explanation, I would assume.
Where does he teach?
He teaches in Denver. Denver, yeah, I know. So, Gordy, you got that look like, okay, how does this work? What are the parents like? You know, we had that conversation. In fact, without giving too much away so that people can actually go to Civic Media page, the Busted Pencils, and download the episode, we get into that conversation, you know. So how are the parents when you introduce topics such as biology, where it seems to be like what people would say, particularly on sex, that there's, you know, very black and white, there's male and female. And what Sam does, though, is points out that, you know, gender and sex isn't so, you know, there's XXY, there's YX, there's lots of variation around this idea of what we call sex. And then the whole classification, though, too, of gender and the difference between when we're talking to students, what does gender mean? What does sex mean? It's a great episode. I could see Gordy's got this look going like, how does that work? And how, you know, do they really let him teach this? I bet this is what you're saying.
What I'm thinking is what age group is he teaching? First of all,
it's high school biology.
It is high school biology. Okay.
Yeah. All right. And what is there parent input on this? Is there an option or what is the story on that?
No, this is scientific consensus from the scientific community. And so that's partly what's exciting about what Sam shares is, you know, as teachers, even sometimes it's difficult to teach a topic, but we have to teach the best of what the scientific community. And we talk a lot about scientific consensus on Busted Pencils. Like, what does that mean? You know, it's like the best knowledge emerging from scientists around the world through peer review, sort of the
an unspoken oath that most teachers have is to teach facts, right? Where they can, and that should be often, right? That would be the hope. And so this was this idea, like much like how when we teach about humans and we teach about the Human Genome Project and our DNA, and we teach about that there's really not any scientific evidence to support racism or to support one kind of human appearance as being superior to others. And so, you know, science debunked that, where historically science had played a role scientific community in, you know, saying that there was, you know, some scientific support in there being a superior group of people. Well, the scientific process, you know, applying the scientific method and, you know, looking at now DNA, and I don't mean now like 2024, this is, you know, the latter part, the late end of 19th century, the 20th century that we were in just a couple decades ago. The Human Genome Project emerges to really debunk scientific support of racism. Very similarly, we are in a moment where the scientific community has shared so much information that is aligned with a social movement of many youth right now who are saying, like, wait, we have more than just really hard ways of hard binaries for identifying, you know, our sex and gender. And so, you know, biology teachers moving forward, teaching the chromosomes and how our sex is determined by and large historically has been by a doctor that looks at your parts when you're born. And the scientific community says, hey, wait, we know way more than this now.
Yes, we do.
And it also aligns with all the ways that young people and people of all ages are saying, hey, we identify very differently than just male or female. There's all kinds of different possibilities there. So Sam was talking about just teaching the science, but also that hit being close to who he is and his students know his identity, right? That it would be really hard for him not to teach the best scientific knowledge emerging at that moment. And you know, by and large, the episode's pretty exciting because he talks about, you know, his student appreciation for being taught science and also the community's, like, you know, understanding that that's something of importance.
We're talking with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny from the Busted Pencils. It's 6:42. You can call us at 608-879-8255. If you have a question or a comment, call us or text us, 608-879-8255.
I remember going into a teacher night for my kids and getting an explanation of the curriculum for that year for each individual class. And the surprising, shocking thing for me, because, you know, many years before I'd been in school, so, you know, I wasn't familiar with how classes were operating and, you know, the topics discussed. But what I found was an incredibly creative way these teachers would come into the classroom, take the normal standard stuff they're required to teach, but bring in stuff from outside that really made the course even more interesting. In fact, fantastically more interesting. And I was riveted to each class, each teacher that talked to us about their plans for the year. It was just amazing to me. And I just wish I could go back to school again, listening to these people. And I can imagine.
Inspiring.
Yeah. I can imagine that, you know, if maybe our mega Republicans had talked to, like they did to Ketanji Brown Jackson, talked to, and what was his name again? Brown? Who's the teacher that you're talking about?
Sam Long.
Oh, yeah. I can imagine asking him that same question. I would have loved to have heard the answer to that.
Yeah, just thinking about that. I'm Sam, though, and you say that first teacher's night, because that's the way we imagine or we remember going, take our kids to school, and you go in and you meet the teachers there.
Yeah.
Having that first night, you know, where you're sitting down with your high school student and you're meeting your biology teacher of your child, and here they are talking and coming out with this, you know, hey, we're going to be learning biology this year, and one of the things we're going to be doing in biology is kind of looking at this whole idea of this very binary, as Johnny pointed out, classification that typically, and John, the way you did that too, Johnny, you said it's just like when the doctors looked at your parts when you were born, it was you were this, you were that, which is, you know, this visual kind of binary. But then scientifically, we know this, and we've also had in about 3 or 4 years ago, we also have another expert, Dr. Ethan Siegel. He's actually an astrophysicist, but he came on the show too to talk out with, it was a program about what makes up a woman. And when you get down into that chromosomal level right there, that when we say, you know, we learned XX or XY, is that there are variations of XX, Y, X, Y, Y, you know, there's different ways. And so the visual appearance of, quote, sex could also then be that at the chromosomal level, it could be very different than what the visual appearance looks like. And so, yeah, I think about this, too, what I have been, you know, when I would have went into my son or my daughter's first meet the teacher night and had that be part of the exposure that to know that my son's biology teacher is going to be we're going to be learning biology and he's a transgender man. And they're going to talk about the whole idea of the complexity around this idea of gender. It would have been interesting.
It would have been really a different angle through me if I were in that classroom and the teacher brought that up. That would be just fascinating. I'd probably go to school with my kid if he had that class. Well, we have a caller.
Yes, Mark. Yeah. Mark is on the line with a question or a comment. Good morning, Mark. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, it's a pleasure talking to you guys again. That I was used to call in occasionally up here in the SAC. But it's not the first time this issue has been addressed. I mean, I can remember when I was in recovery from my whole cancer thing. There was an episode of House that I saw where it was a woman who was she appeared to be a supermodel, but she was having difficulties with anger issues because she was internally a male. And she's externally a female, and so people, I wonder how Meg is going to react to something like this. Actually, a scientific fact out there. I mean, is it going to be like the old days of when the Catholic Church dictated science, and when, you know, Galileo, you know, said, well, that, you know, that the Earth is not the center of the universe, and that Galen didn't know what he was talking about when it came to medicine. That, imagine MAGA's with Project 2025 would be trying to ban some of actual information getting out.
That's right.
Yeah, it would be. And Mark, yeah, we appreciate it. Mark called us all the time when our show was on daily. So Mark, we appreciate hearing you too this morning. Great to reconnect. Yeah, you think about this in a MAGA world. Yeah, how would this go over? And I mean, we have no problem imagining that this, if you were a MAGA supporter, how this would come off. But I mean, you know, I said again, encouraging people, you know, to listen to the episode with Sam, and to hear the conversation, because I'm thinking too that a lot of people say, well, this sounds like a politically slanted class where Sam is going to be trying to convince students that this political description of gender and that he's there to dispel that. And nothing like that comes forward at all. It really is a conversation around science and biology and the complexities there, and embedding that complexity of what it means to have sex and then gender, and then the whole idea of gender itself being this much more of a fluid identity that can move back and forth different ways. And you know, that's challenging to learn. I could see that, but it's not true. You know, that's the issue here. Yeah. Is that it's not a political indoctrination. He's presenting science. People might not like it, but that's the science.
And the catch is fluidity. They don't understand that part of it. That's the tough part.
Guys, can you stick around a few more minutes?
Absolutely, man. Love being here with you guys.
Yeah. All right. It is 6:49. We're back with the Busted Pencils on the John and Gordy Show, 92.7 WMDX Madison.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Football season is back, and Gabriel the Promoter is ready to help you get the party started. Celebrate in style by booking a $100 round-trip party bus shuttle from Madison to Lambeau Field, complete with all-you-can-drink Miller Lite. Tickets to the game are not included. Don't miss out on the ultimate green and gold experience. Book your spot now. Brought to you by Gabriel Promotes and sponsored by Baldwin Street Grill. Call Gabriel the Promoter today, 414-944-1704, while spots are still available.
Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
This narrative that the immigrants are coming to get you, that's fiction. Look at criminal charges in your community. And look how many of those people who have been there for years, if not decades, and how many of those people are new immigrants. And even a smaller percentage of how many are undocumented immigrants. It's not happening. It would be like going to places and say, well, you know what? I'm running for Congress to stop the zombies.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
WMDX, the John and Gordy Family Show. And as we do every Thursday morning, we feature busted pencils. We
Dr.
miss
Tim,
them.
Dr.
We miss
Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci.
All right. let's get into something that is more threatening, just really scary, is a comment recently from Trump in regards to doing away with the Department of Education and having parents run schools. Let's play this cut for everybody.
They got to straighten out the schools in this country. Schools are really bad. And I think we're going to be able to do a lot of it. But if they're run by the state and run by, like, the parents, because in Washington, you know, half of the buildings, such a large number, every building you pass in Washington says Department of Education, you're going to have a lot of, like, vacant space. Now we can have somebody else maybe move in. But it's massive.
Oh, man.
It's massive. Mm-hmm. I figure we'll have like one person plus a secretary. You'll have a secretary and a secretary. We'll have one person plus a secretary, and all the person has to do is, are you teaching English? Are you teaching arithmetic? What are you doing? Reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Unbelievable.
And are you not teaching woke? Not teaching woke is a very big factor. But we'll have a very small staff. We can occupy that staff right in this room, actually. I think this room is too large. And all they're going to do is they're going to see that the basics are taken care of. You know, we don't want to have somebody get crazy and start teaching a language that we don't want them to teach. But we'll do something with education. I think when we move it into the local districts. But the big thing is we're going to take it all out of Washington. We're going to send it all back to the states. We're going to spend less than half, and we're going to have much better education.
I remember hearing or seeing a cut, I think it was Norway, where fourth graders were being taught how to identify fake news, and they were doing it in three different languages in the class, fourth graders.
Right. So what do you make of that word salad? I don't know even where to begin. Trump's
word salad.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say, Johnny, take a stab.
Word salad is definitely a great starting point. What there is really substantial. And you know, we've talked about this a lot on Busted Pencils. And what is the real you know, focus of Project 25 or 2025 when it comes to the Department of Education. It's really to eliminate it, right? That's mm-hmm. the goal of the Republican ticket right now, which is really surprising because that is not, the by and large, the opinion of Republicans or people in this country, bipartisan right. in large.
Right.
But, you know, the Department of Education, what does that mean? Well, education is a state right.
Mm-hmm.
So newsflash for Trump, even, and we are, neither of us are big supporters of this approach to education or to, you know, eliminate the Department of Education as we see as a big problem. But newsflash to Trump and anybody who's excited about that possibility or that promise that he said of the parents running the schools is education is a state right. So states weigh in pretty heavy on what education looks right, like. And within right. states, districts, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of our listeners are probably familiar with their local school district, and trained educators throughout that entire system are making decisions all the time. And, you know, we do unfortunately live in an era where everybody's an expert. And that's just not mm-hmm. also not true. That's fake news, right?
Right.
Because you look something up on YouTube or you're listening to like Tim, Johnny, John, and Gordy. You know, that doesn't quite make you an expert. It might make you a little bit informed.
Right.
Not an expert. There are folks who are experts. When I need to, you know, get my car fixed, I trust a mechanic, usually a master mechanic. That means something. They know a lot about what's going wrong with my car, right? The same thing, you know, scale it up to our education system. We're trusting educators and educational leaders who have training in human development and the growth of young people in the best ways to teach things and what helps support not only democracy, but like we said, science and engineering and all these great fields that young people are growing up to go into. So one of it is just hot air. No shocker coming out. You know, the man who was on that clip. But by and large, you know, yeah. By and large, you know, the elimination of the Department of Education, though, is alarming. And what goes away with if we were to eliminate the Department of Education is a lot of the really important support for equality in our schools. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's really heavy. You know, curriculum is state determined. So what's taught in schools is determined by our states and our districts. And that's I really like state rights versus federal rights. But that doesn't put me in favor of eliminating the Department of Education. It's a bad move. And it's always, it shouldn't be humorous, but it's always fun to chuckle a little bit when he says, you know, they're taking up all this space.
It's like, taking up all this space and they're teaching. I want to get a new degree in woke though, because I missed my woke class. I didn't realize. And my kids now who are, you know, haven't been out of school very long, but I don't remember them having woke homework.
Me either.
But
well, man, this is the thing, though.
Sounds interesting.
This is really a thing. I work in a lot of schools that I would say are more Republican leaning, and not, I would say, even this new era of Republican, maybe even if we want to categorize them as MAGA supporting communities. And there is a real kind of buzz going on around, you know, I've listened to parents express concern about they don't want their child to have a woke teacher. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, this is a woke homework assignment on like discussion boards and things. And so this is it's not a new vocabulary, but it's taken some traction. And what does it mean? It means someone in favor of social equality. It means someone in favor of democracy,
right.
Is by and large against tyrannical governments, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's a real thing out there, you know, but, you know, some of us lean into it and embrace it. And others are weaponizing it. So stay woke, fellas.
All right.
Doctors Tim and Johnny, thanks for joining us. Busted Pencils this morning.
Yep, their podcast drops every Wednesday. They're with us every Thursday morning, 6:35. Right. Thanks, guys.
Sing along, guys, if you can.
Coming up, Terry Bell.
Take care. Okay?
Terry Bell's right around the corner with the big story of the day on John and Gordy, 92.7 WMDX.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Alexander Venman with very compelling testimony during the first Trump impeachment trial. J.R. Radcliffe with all things sports. And this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Oh, no. Stomach issues again?
Stomach issues? Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation.